Tech News Show community and fans and people who email us and give us feedback. This is, a labs, you know,
yes.
First. Yes. We thought that we would try to give everyone an opportunity to have more of a voice on the show, because we get so many emails from you and tweets and, you know, feedback in general that doesn't make the show because our show is 30 minutes. And thought that this might be fun.
Yeah. And we've just been getting more and more email all the time. So we wanted another venue in which to address things. Sometimes that maybe in the course of the 30-minute news show would take too much time to set up. And I think the other thing, Sarah, that you were saying you want to do is put people in contact with each other and do more of that thing where someone asks a question. Maybe we don't answer it, but we know someone in our audience has the answer they're looking for. And we throw it out to you. And then the next version of this episode, we get the answer from them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, part of the fun of the show is like somebody gives us really good information all the time. And it always sucks if we can't put it in the show, you know, for whatever reason. So that's what Mailbag is for.
Yay. We're your clearinghouse. Yay. We're your ombudsman people.
We're for you. So, Tom, what do you think of my new setup here?
I like it. Is that the Mailbag corner?
It is. It is. Got a fishing pole here. I mean, I've got a little of everything.
Yeah.
But, you know.
In case you want to, in case the mail gets too hectic, you can just pop out and go fishing.
Yeah. I mean, at some point I will like light this properly and all that stuff. But I think for our purposes today, it's okay.
Audio listeners think it's lit perfectly.
Well, God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Yeah. Before the show, Tom was like, do you want to just do audio? And I was like, no.
I have been working on this set.
Weird stuff. I do. Okay, so should we get right into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. First question, and you know, this is a little bit of curveball, is from Carl, and he said, "How do we listen or watch Mailbag show? Can you please give me a link?" And I think that that's actually important because we're kind of doing this under the radar a little bit.
Yeah. If you're watching or listening now, you've figured out at least one way. But the way it will go out is as a DTNS Labs. DTNS Labs goes out in the main feed. So if you're subscribed to Daily Tech News Show audio, you'll get it. Same way you always do. If you're a patron, whenever Sarah is finished recording and producing them, it'll go into the Patreon feed right away. If you're not a Patreon or you want to get it out of the main feed, what we do with DTNS Labs is we always put them in the weekend feed. So you'll get it on a Saturday or Sunday. And the videos will be on YouTube, and we will give them to Sean and Roger to put in the video feed as well.
Yeah. So, you know, when you hear us talking about doing like experimental stuff, you definitely have many options to watch or listen. We got an email from Lee the other day that said people complain about Apple and batteries. But what about Sonos? They offered us a sweetener of a one voucher per household, regardless of number of CR100s you have, which is their sort of like, I guess, Sonos 1.0 kind of remote station. Very poor. Now, Tom, you wrote him back, and that actually happens a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, emails that don't get on the show. Like, we're still hoping to get back to everybody.
Yeah, I try to. When there's something I can say of use, anyway, I'll try to get back to people if I can. And with him, the first thing I said was like, well, this is a more than 10-year-old product. So I'm not sure if the comparison to the iPhone is exactly apples to apples. Because with the iPhone battery, you're talking about a 2 or 3-year-old device. With the Sonos, you're talking about a 10-plus-year-old device. You don't expect those things to last forever. So on the one hand, I'll give Sonos a little bit of a break in that this is a very old piece of equipment. And they have a replacement for it. The Sonos app is what I use for my Sonos. That's what they provide now. They don't even give you those old controllers anymore. They just expect you to have an app on your phone. On the other hand, though, I get where Lee's coming from, which is I could still use this controller if you just let me replace the battery, but you didn't make the battery replaceable. So now you have to say, well, it's a dangerous for a lithium-ion battery to be that old, and so we have to discontinue use of it, which is a pain if it's still working.
And it works fine. I mean, I never had one, but people that were cooler than me that got Sonos speakers way back in the day, like I remember being like, ooh, wow.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
It was like sort of the first smart home in a way. So yeah, we feel your pain, but not exactly the same thing. Moving on. We got an email from Natron who said, I think the most obvious use case for anything archiving and hiding photos is when you have pictures of someone special. He's talking about the new Instagram feature where you can archive a photo but not delete it so that people don't see it on your feed. And we were sort of like, who does that? Well, maybe it's just kids. He said, well, somebody that, you know, a picture you don't want to lose, but you don't want to share with the world. I will let you your imagination go from there. He wants to keep it clean, he said. Facebook already allows this using privacy settings. See, here's where I don't really understand that. If you wanted to use Instagram as a photo, you know, backup place, I could see why this would work. But otherwise, if you've got a racy photo, and I think that's what he's alluding to, why would you post it on Instagram and then hide it from, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if the racy photo is the best example. I can think of an example kind of based on what he's saying that I hadn't thought of before he sent the email, which is you've got a picture of a loved one. Maybe it's a spouse or a friend or a relative, and you've got a great picture of the two of you together hugging, and that person dies, right? I mean, I know that's horrible to think of. You sure don't want that out there on your public feed all the time, getting comments maybe, just, but you don't want to delete it either, right? You want that picture for later when you're okay with it, but you don't want it right now. Pretty specific example, but yeah, I could see that being a case of like, you know what, I just don't need this in public right now, but once I'm past this, I will still want this picture, so I don't want to delete it.
You know what, I think this probably has a lot more to do with death, yes, but more like breakups.
Yeah, or breakups, right? That's a little less dramatic, but yeah,
all of a sudden you're like, I probably do want to look at this picture at some point, but I don't want anybody to see it on my feed anymore. Right.
I'll eventually want to Photoshop the person out of it because it's a great background. But
speaking of breakups, I did not know you could do this on Instagram. Do you know that you can pause your account so it appears that you've deactivated forever, but it's only temporary?
Ah, so if you've got someone bugging you, you could just be like, oh, I'm gone.
Or just be like, I can't even deal with you guys, but I'm not going to delete my account. Right, I want to come back at some point. Yeah.
Interesting. That's I did not know that.
Another breakup thing. Okay. So Natron actually emailed us twice and said, I read that as part of the split with eBay, PayPal got a look at eBay's business until 2021 and really favorable terms. eBay is just planning ahead to lower their costs, and the vendor they picked to replace eBay is legit, processing for companies like Netflix, which is true, even though none of us had ever heard of them.
Yeah, they're a little more enterprisey, I think, which is why we were unfamiliar with them. But it's a fair point. It's not like PayPal's business with eBay goes away today, but in 2021, that PayPal's going to want to have had something else lined up, which, you know, good point. Gives them a few years to do that.
I guess we talked about it on the show a couple of days ago when we talked about the fact that eBay was going to go with another payment vendor. They've had such a good relationship. How is it that they wouldn't, make a deal between themselves because they have such history? I guess once you go independent, the two of you, then you don't care about that as much.
Yeah, I mean, it may be that this Dutch company just had a better proposal. Like, we can do it cheaper, we can do it the way you want, because PayPal has to be a consumer facing product as well, and this other company doesn't. So it may give them some efficiency somehow.
Netflix, Uber, Spotify, big companies.
Yeah.
So yeah. There was discussion about whether Facebook Messenger was the same as text. And I see major differences. Here's one. Facebook Messenger pops a window up like a Skype message, waiting for your input. Even though you don't have to answer right away, if you dismiss the window, you might forget to answer it. And if you just dismiss the window, it's possible that the person who sent you the message can tell that you read it and then dismissed it. It demands your attention either way that text does not. All right, so Tim, not sure how your text is set up, but mine is like a full-on notification message, like Messenger is no more invasive than text is, for me anyway.
Yeah, Messenger is actually more invasive than text for me because I get so few of them that it makes this weird popping sound and even makes it if like my iPad is closed and I'm absolutely called attention to it, where I have my text messaging sound set very low so that it doesn't, it's not always going off and grabbing my attention.
But wait, the Messenger notification sound is louder than your text?
It's different. It's like a plop. And so I never hear it unless it's Messenger. So it really grabs my attention more.
You know, it's funny. Messenger, as well as LinkedIn profiles and certain other services, it is mandatory if someone saw the message that you sent, you know. You know that they saw it and you know exactly what time stamped. And there's like a whole thing that goes on with me and my friends about whether or not read receipts are valuable. I think they are for text. I'm talking about text,
sure.
Particularly, you know, message between iPhones. But I'm like, if I'm not like hiding from you, what does it matter that you saw when I, you know, when you sent your text? Like, isn't that helpful to you?
Well, yeah.
So these are the sort of things, like, they don't really bother me, but I understand the idea of people wanting privacy.
There's a whole other conversation to be had about the etiquette of responding. And I wonder sometimes if it's generational, because I'll send a message to people and they just, you know, I'll see they read it and they don't respond. And I'm like, why aren't you responding? I just want them to respond to say, cool, right? Because there's a difference between I opened my phone, I saw you sent me a message, and I read your message and I totally understand and I have nothing more to say. I always want that last minute, like, cool, or okay, got it. So that I'm like, all right, this person doesn't have any questions, versus, yeah, they read it, but maybe they didn't quite get what I was saying, or they, you know, they're going to respond later or something. And I always miss that. And a read receipt isn't enough to make me feel comfortable in some cases. If it's not important, it's different.
Which is funny, because that's exactly why I like them.
Yeah.
You know, if you text me and you see that I saw it, you know that I saw it. But you're like, but what?
Well, because I do this all the time where I unlock a phone after by touching, you know, I touch the message, I unlock the phone and I get distracted. So it's going to show that I read it, but I didn't read it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There are certain email clients that will let you know like how many times the email's been opened.
Oh, that's,
I'm not down with that.
Yeah,
email's one of those things where it's like, we're all so behind on that. Please.
I love the dot dot dot.
Anybody when I read an email.
I like the dot 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 that tells me they're typing, because then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna wait till I hear the response or see the response.
Got another email from Nick. This is about RAM prices. Mm. Hi, Tom. Just a note that the hardware price discussion on today's show, it was Wednesday's show, I believe, which I'm surprised Ryan didn't mention, was the Chinese NDRC is investigating RAM manufacturers for price fixing. If they find that price fixing is going on, this wouldn't be the first time the RAM manufacturers have been caught price fixing. Having the might of the Chinese government looking at the price of RAM will very likely put downward pressure on the price consumers paying for RAM.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the kind of story that I always raise an eyebrow and say, well, wait a minute. What's really going on here? Who's reporting this? Is it getting blown out of proportion? So I did a quick search while you were reading that. And there's a Reuters story, which is trustworthy to me. China's economic regulators paying close attention to the surge in storage chips and could look into possible price fixing by the firms that make them, a senior official told the state-run China Daily newspaper, citing official with the National Development and Reform, the NDRC. So it's not quite they're doing an investigation. They're paying attention. So it may be overstating it to say they're looking into it as in they're pretty sure it happened and they're going to crack down on it. But it's not like they're not paying attention to it. They are keeping an eye on the market.
All right. Hope we answered your question. All right. This next one is from Doug in Michigan. And this was actually a really interesting conversation we had the other day with Scott Johnson, I believe, about the subscriber model and when it works and when it doesn't. So Doug says, I was just listening to that episode and I've got some thoughts. Product aging is not only the wear and tear that happens on goods, but also the desirability. You know, if you want to, you know, rent out clothes, you don't want to rent out 10-year-old clothes. You want to rent out new clothes. Subscription orientation hits the problem with the snowboard. The snowboard was one of the examples that I had brought up, like, well, it's seasonal, right? It's going to sit in your closet the rest of the time. But he says, well, but everybody wants to rent that snowboard at the same time, right? Unless you're like going to, you know, ship it across the country. So that's also a problem too. That sharing economy thing only works when you really don't want your item and somebody else really does.
Yeah.
As far as rentals go, I think that he does hit on something, you know, the fashion thing, yes. Cars, the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to rent a Cadillac, it's expensive, but it's new, you know, you don't have to buy it. You know, there's a status thing associated with that.
The clothes item, you know, is not as big of a problem because that's what Mr. and Mrs. Collection does. They rent out clothes. And yes, the clothes that they were renting out last year probably aren't in the system anymore. But because they give the option to buy to people, they're definitely going to, you know, have some attrition in the system, which probably helps pay for the rest of the clothes, to be honest. And they can then sell clothes used afterwards, once it gets to the end of the cycle of like, well, we really can't send this out to people anymore because it's starting to age. Would they have a way to liquidate that? And it seems to work. So it's a great point. It's not a kill. It's not a deal killer for the model. And obviously, you know, the whole thing with the snowboard and the camping equipment and everything, you're absolutely right. You know, in the middle of the snow, you're not going to get camping equipment requests. You're going to get snowboard requests, but that's a logistical problem. That's a supply and inventory problem. But that company that we were talking about on the show seems like they have a handle on it.
Got another email from Norm, and this is for people who are actually paying attention to DTNS Labs. Norm lives in the Central Valley and says that next time we do an LA meetup, he'll be there. So we'll keep that in mind. He said, one request. Can we get more non-games content in the Labs feeds? Ryan Trout was phenomenal. So how about an extended interview with somebody who's an expert like Ryan in an area for a deeper dive? I think you guys and Ryan could have talked about memory processors forever. I think he means Ryan Trout. Or maybe an extended discussion on a place of new technology. I got an Apple Watch for Christmas. I'd like to listen to people I trust talk about Apple Watches, et cetera. So, well, Norm, as a fellow not super high-tech gamer, hopefully this is something that will, you know, satiate you a little bit. But the whole idea of Labs is like, yeah, we want to know what you want to see, what you don't want to see, what you want more of.
Yeah, I mean, here you go, Norm. We're doing this show. It's not game content. The only game content that's in the Labs is Patrick Beja's. The other content that Scott does is about art, and that's deep dive on art, which I get may not be your thing. And I've been doing a very similar thing to what Norm's describing. We talked to the guy from the CEA for Labs. We talked to an Apple developer at length in November. We talked to a musician. I'm thinking of talking to a guy who does the cartoon Wondermark. So granted, maybe these things aren't hitting exactly Norm's interest, but hopefully as we do more and more of these, we'll hit that interest more and more.
Julian wrote in on Monday. We were trying to figure out Veronica's studio name because Tom and I both say I'm here at Studio Feline. He's at DTNS headquarters. And his suggestion for Veronica was to speak for her, but I feel like she's not going to like that one.
Wait, say it again.
Silicon Studio.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to speak for her either, but it's, I get where he's coming from, right? Because it's Silicon Valley-ish, even though she's in San Francisco, which isn't exactly Silicon Valley.
Right.
But then Silicon Hills, Silicon Beach, Silicon Alley, feel like that's where everybody goes. It's not quite distinctive enough. Silicon Studio now.
Hey.
That's a really bad idea.
The Bodega Corner Store Studio or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
This one is from Paul. It says, good morning, Tom. Or good afternoon, good evening, good night. I usually listen to DTNS every day that it airs. The news is still pretty fresh 16 hours later. You guys do an awesome job staying on top of things. Thank you. I found myself coming to what I think is an interesting realization. I had to get a quick dinner last night and I ended up getting Burger King. I never eat that stuff. Being a man of a certain age, I was still lamenting the choice this morning. After hearing you mention Burger King's net neutrality ad on the show, I realized I watched it and then I immediately went out and bought another cheeseburger. Well played.
Man, all I could say is been there, done that. When McDonald's had the Apple Pay implemented, under the guise of research, I did go and buy a cheeseburger there. Then
was McDonald's like the first fast food?
It was one of the earlier ones. Yeah. 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 It was Whole Foods and McDonald's. I actually went to Whole Foods and then McDonald's and used Apple Pay.
Wow. Interessante. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like Burger King net neutrality. It's like, well, sure, that was a play to get people who care about net neutrality to go to Burger King. But, yeah. You know, that's what you do.
It might make me go get a cheeseburger somewhere else, though.
Why?
Because we're talking about it now. But I don't want to get
one
at Burger
King. Burger King?
Yeah. No, because we're talking about cheeseburgers.
Oh, right. Okay. What is our next email? I had it here. No. Sorry.
Getting towards the bottom of the mailbag, so Sarah has to dig down in, you know, through all the letters.
Mailbag never ends.
Under the bills. A lot of junk mail in there.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? This was, you know, this is really simple, but Toby wrote in and said, thank you so much for having Mike on. Mike Hole, he's talking about. Really enjoyed hearing his points. I have to agree. You know, one of the, you know, I don't know. I love all our guests, of course, but a really interesting guest that I hope we have on as soon as possible.
Yeah. He's a very handsome and intelligent man. Mike Cole.
Got another email from Toby who says, we were talking about, remember the company that had figured out a new unit of measurement for like...
Oh, right. The flick.
Yeah, the flick. All right. So he says, subject line, flick unit of measure. He says, it occurs to me that this more precise unit of time measurement in respect of video frame might have an application in the development of new compression algorithms or methods that might result in smaller, higher quality streams and reduced sizes.
Yeah. Did we not read that one on the main show? That sounds familiar.
Oh, well.
But it's still a good point.
I didn't think that we did, but yeah, I mean, well, I think, and my whole thing was like, but why? It's fine. But yeah, that's, I mean, anything that, that reduces a file size, I'd be into.
Yeah. And just because things are more easily accounted for and divisible, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Next one goes to you, Tom. This is from Carl. Not sure what show you want to ask this on, DTNS or Cord Killers, but if the cell phone companies come out with 5G service in the next couple of years, do you think that they would offer some sort of a combo with home internet and cell phone service? I think they could provide some competition to the local ISPs and maybe drive down prices.
Yes, they absolutely will. In fact, there's kind of two flavors of 5G out there. One is more of a fixed wireless that they're going to be using as a way to provide home internet service. And then there's also the 5G that is meant for mobile service. And even though they're two different implementations, they're going to be done in a lot of cases by the same company. So yeah, absolutely expect Verizon and AT&T and probably T-Mobile and Sprint to provide you some kind of bundle where they're like, hey, get your home internet service. Don't need to worry about wires, you know, and it's going to be super fast. I would highly expect that to happen. Yes.
Speaking of cord killers, what is your and Brian's, I mean, if you guys are in agreement on this, what is, do you think is the best bundle if you're going to choose one and want to keep your cost down as much as possible?
Bundle? I would not get a bundle. I'm a cord killer. I'm not sure. Well, when you say bundle, that makes me think like Spectrum and Comcast and selling you home phone like and internet.
TV or DirecTV's cord killer option or.
So you're saying when you're saying which over the top streaming service. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Sorry. I misunderstood that. We actually did a whole segment on that on cord killers this past Monday. So you can get the longer version of this answer there. But the short version is, it's got to the point where it kind of does depend on which channels you want. You'll want to go and look at which of the channels that are really important to you, which one has those. And then the other question falls into how important is how the DVR service works, because PlayStation View has a 28-day limit on the DVR, which I almost never run into because things rerun so often and they count those. And otherwise it's unlimited in storage. Hulu Live has the, seems like the best DVR because it works unlimited, but occasionally one of the Hulu on demand services replaces your DVR recording, which is not a big problem if you're paying for the commercial free basic Hulu service. But if you've got commercials, that could be an issue. YouTube TV is the same way. So you got to look at how the DVR works. DirecTV doesn't even have DVR yet, DirecTV Now, but it's coming. And then just look at the price compared to the channels you get. Streaming-wise, DirecTV Now solved their problems. Hulu Live seems to have worked out most of their problems. They're all pretty equal on that level.
Care to share what your actual setup is?
I am unusual because I do cord killers. I subscribe to multiple services, but I spend most of my time in PlayStation View because it has most of the channels and it has a nice grid and an easy way to keep track of shows. I kind of like Hulu's way of keeping track of shows better, though, and it integrates with Apple TV's little TV app. So when a new show does get recorded, it just pops right up there. So I've been splitting my time a little between those two.
We got a really, really cool email from Rob, very thorough, that didn't make the show when we were talking about Meg Whitman leaving HP Enterprises and going to this new venture, New TV, which is a Katzenberg venture. He says, to follow up on yesterday's listeners, he wrote us the next day, thoughts on Meg Whitman leaving to take the New TV role as a passion project. Want to share my point of view because not only did I work at HPE for the last 5 years, but in the last year, I had the opportunity to work directly with or for Meg on a large project. Through my personal experience with her, I can say she not only loves the startup world, but it's in her DNA. It's what she loves to do the most. If you take a look at the direction she's taken HPN over the last few years, I think it exemplifies the entrepreneurial spirit that she has. She splits the historic HP into HP Inc. and HPE and, you know, that whole thing back in 2014. And then in 2016, spun, merged off the enterprise services lean into, anyway, we're going on and on. But Rob is quite a fan of Meg and says a few years ago, she even started a program called HPE Pathfinder. It allowed employees to invest and build alliances and industry shaping startups. He's got a lot of links that he adds to this as well. But, you know, it's kind of funny because we were all sort of sitting around being like, didn't she want to be president or she wanted to be governor? And she's, you know, a real enterprise person and what's she doing? And I think, you know, it's easy to speculate, but none of us have worked with her.
Yeah. And who was it that wrote that one in?
Rob from Chicago.
Right. We had a shorter version of the same sentiment from Chris that we did read on the show. So this is, you're not alone, Rob. This is sort of a universal sentiment like, oh yeah, anybody who follows Meg that closely, this makes sense. This is what she loves. She wants to get back in. She wants to get on the juice again and get in there in the trenches and start building something from scratch. She doesn't want to be the helm of a blue chip, if you will.
I was talking to somebody the other day about Jimmy Iovine and like, he's leaving Apple, you know, he vested, what's he really doing? And, you know, it's very hard for me to relate to somebody who's on such a high level of, you know, sort of executive and riches, I suppose. I don't know what Meg Whitman wants to do with her life. I mean, I can try to guess that she wants another.
Although Jimmy Iovine said he's not leaving Apple. So that was just a rumor, and he's now denied it. We'll see. But
there are lots of rumors out there.
We will see.
Okay. I thought that we're not doing this live, so we're not going to get any questions from our DTNS Slack group. But I don't know, Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I think what we can leave people with is this show is going to evolve. It's going to change as Sarah does it. And the one thing that you can do if you like this, send us some questions for us to ask the audience. You heard there's like people who've worked at HPE. There's people who work in the ISP industry. We've got experts abounding in the audience who can answer your question without even trying. Just like, oh yeah, no, I know that off the top of my head. So you got a question about how the industry works or technology, send it here. We'll read it out and somebody will be able to answer it.
And I think it's nice to know that there's another outlet. Some of the emails we get are like fantastic, but they can't really be parsed depending on the show when we're doing DTNS, like just because we have time constraints. It's like, we'll save that, you know? So the whole idea of the email bag, it was like, you know, we just don't want to like not respond to these folks publicly because they can help other people.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Not just about getting a response from us. It's about like passing along information and questions and comments.
So feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Well, Tom, what do you think?
I like it. I think it's a good first crack. I can't wait to see where we go from here.
Me either. Yeah, I mean, this was literally us going through the mailbag and just saying, all right, let's read a few things, see how it goes.
Yeah.
Hopefully you like the idea, but really the content comes from you. So you have, it's your opportunity to dictate what we talk about. And if you have something that you're looking to get on another show, but think that we could unpack it further here, that's cool too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the point of this.
All righty then. Well, how should we end this? We got to figure that part out too.
Yeah. From Studio Feline, thanks for being with... No, that's terrible. if you like my fishing pole...
I don't know. send us an email about how we should close the show. How's that?
That's the first feedback I want. Tell us how to close the show. But thanks to everybody for giving us feedback. Thanks in advance anyway. And yeah, let us know what you want to see, what you want us to do. We'll do it within reason.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
We definitely said within reason.